Hello and welcome to the season finale edition of the Chesapeake Hockey Week. I'm your host, Scotty Waz. How are you guys doing? Took an off week last week because there really wasn't any news to speak of. All the games were happening in the week past and then afterwards. So it'd be a bit of a hodgepodge to do all that. So we took a week off, and now here we are to wrap everything up as another season ends for hockey teams in Maryland that don't include the Black Bears, as they have their own podcast, Defending the Den, on the same network. So if you subscribe to this, you get that and this and two teams still playing as of last week. Their seasons are now over. It's Team Maryland and the Navy Women. Navy Women were at Nationals. Team Maryland was in the first round of the EHL playoffs, and we'll get to Team Maryland as they took on the 87s, who they've had a little bit of luck with against in the at the end of the regular season, and tried to keep that luck going into the playoffs, and it started off not so great. New Jersey, the 87s, really taking it to Maryland offensively, out shooting Maryland 17-8 in game one that happened last Tuesday. And they get on the board first late, 103 remaining in the first. Ryan Carbach gets his first of the year for the 87s, breaks the scoring, the scoreless tie, and puts New Jersey ahead 1-0 after one period of play. Then in the middle of the second, John Foote doubles the lead for New Jersey. His first playoff goal. Obviously, all of these will be first in this one. He notches one, and it is 2-0. Maryland will come back, though, minutes later as Aiden Theriloff gets his first of the playoffs from Theo Lauditz and Chase Hannon, making it 2-1 before the end. But again, New Jersey really just outshooting Maryland and just having a lot more offensive chances. And this has nothing to do with power plays either, as both teams only had one power play each through 40 minutes of play. And New Jersey just outshooting Maryland, outchancing Maryland, 31-17 through two. Maryland will get on the board 5 minutes in and tie the game up. Noah Gouge gets his first playoff goal from Lauditz and Jules Jardine. That would tie it up, but that would be short-lived. And 2.5 minutes later, Lucas Salas gets his first of the year and gets on the board. And then there you go. He gets the game winner eventually for the 87s. Jake Houston makes 41 saves as Maryland was out. Team Maryland was outshot 44-26 on the evening. So down 0-1, they get back home to take on the 87s, hopefully tie it up and send it back to a decisive game three in New Jersey. No scoring in the first period of play. Maryland playing a lot better in the first period than they did in the first period of game one. But late in the second, the 87s break into the board. Zach Garnsey pots one home, 17-57 in, or 2:03 remaining in the second period to put the 87s up. The 87s actually had been lower in shots, and Team Maryland had a couple of power plays that they were trying to take advantage of, could not do it in this instance. So after two periods of play, New Jersey up 1-0. But then things got fun and interesting as Jules Jardine scores 19 seconds into the third period to tie the game from Lauditz and Chase Theo Lauditz and Chase Hannon. And then afterwards, not a great time as they give up a 4-on-2 shorthanded attempt, and Mikkel Cucurella gets his first in the playoffs, gets the 87s up 2-1. However, Jules Jardine would notch his second of the game, 8:23 in from Vadim Frolov and Noah Gulge, and they get him back even again, but with under 5 minutes remaining, Alex Haar nets his first on the even strength. 87s get ahead, and they hold that lead for the last under 5 minutes. And Team Maryland, they have they come to a, their time in Maryland come to a close as they lose 3-2, a tough, heartbreaking loss, as it were. Another 41 save performance for Jake Houston. Team Maryland closing up the shot gap, 44-40. They were outshot, had a lot more offense, but that is that. That is the last game of Team Maryland's EHL entry. They will be moving to Hamilton, New Jersey, as the Hamilton Chiefs next year. So 6 years. 6 years of EHL time at Piney Orchard. Right now, that chapter is shut. And a heck of an interesting year for Team Maryland as a whole, because when you look at what happened at the start of it. They had a coaching change super late into the season as Josh Fusco left to coach Franklin Pierce Hockey up there in Rhode Island. But it was a situation, actually, sorry, New Hampshire. But it's a situation where Eric Projan got thrown into a bit and just kind of worked it as it went, trying to feel out the team as it was. They had four returning guys from last season in Jules Jardine, Vadim Frolov, Noah Gouge, and Aiden Theraloff was there as well last year. So was Theo Loudon. So five guys who came back. And it was just a learn-as-you-go situation. And they did well. They had some ups and downs. Obviously, when they started, it was a little bit of a down. But they kind of pulled together as a team, got up there, and really fought and clawed to get where they were. They get into the third spot in the standings after being down for a bit in that five spot. Come back up to get mid-pack, and then unfortunately two heartbreaking losses in the playoffs, and they are out already. So it's been a fun time for Team Maryland, and it was good to be able to cover them for the time that we did, the time that we did have together. So all the best in them and all the players who are going up and transferring over to the Hamilton Chiefs, and then, all the best to the guys who are graduating as well, going off to college. Yeah, it will be an interesting situation for sure, as we have one less team at Piney Orchard Ice Arena. The United States Naval Academy women were in nationals for a second straight year, and as D2 nationals happen, that is a round robin tournament to start, and then the team with the highest totals of the four pools had the most points would go on to the Frozen Four. So, Navy started off their venture Tuesday against Northeastern, and it was a heck of a time. Northeastern got out to a jump really quick as they were out shooting Navy 11-4 in this one and finally got through with 105 remaining in the frame. Olivia Toscano got her first of the playoff or the national and put the Huskies up 1-0 after one. But even earlier in the second period, Navy kind of got their swagger back, got their legs underneath them. And Tina Cornelio gets her first of the nationals from Sam Clark, and that made it 1-1. Navy outshot Northeastern 10-6 in the period. And the third period, a little bit of a explosions, as I kind of mumble over my words as I am wont to do. Kayla Diletto notches her first, 7:05 into the third period, put Navy ahead, but 11:07, Emily McDonald for Northeastern gets them level. And while they had an overtime period, nothing was solved, so it ends in a 2-2 draw. Deanna Pervoroto, 30 saves in the tie here. So then next up for Navy in their pool play was the defending D2 champion Sault College, and they showed why they were defending champions in this one as they put a hurtin' on Navy in the first period. Started off 6:44 in, Materia Land, her second of the nationals on the power play, made it 1-0. Then 11:02, Emily Moore shorthanded, put Sault College up 2-0. And then Alyssa Byers ends out the period with under 5 minutes remaining with a power play goal of her own. Sault up 2-0 after one period of play, outshooting the mids 15-4. More onslaught in the second period with 13 shots on Pervoroto and all 13 saved on her end, but only four shots mustered for Navy. And then early in the third, 1:53 in on the power play, Emma Lee gets her third of the nationals, and that puts Sault up 4-0, which would be the final score, 4-0. Pervoroto with 35 saves and a solid effort. Three of the four goals come on a power play, the other one shorthanded. So 5-on-5, it was pretty solid for the mids, but they just could not get sustainable offensive time. Only able to muster 13 shots on goal against Sault. And spoiler alert, Sault was the two-time champion now as they defended their crown, winning the national championship over Assabon College in the final. So one last game, Navy was eliminated from that factor with the loss to Sault. And they took on Mercyhurst in this one with a better result. Mercyhurst, though, keeps the power play train rolling against Navy as Ellie Schau gets her first of the Nationals on the power play, 5:04 in. But after that point, Navy kind of took over from there. Tina Cornelio, moments after Schau's goal, evens it up with her second from Savannah Holt and Lindsay Baisha. And then literally a minute and 12 seconds later, Chloe Haynes gets her first of the Nationals. Cornelio and Sam Clark on the assist there made it 2-0. Navy getting their swagger back, outshooting Mercyhurst 14-7. In the second period, Navy just piles it on. Anna Peterson with her first of the Nationals from Alexis Smith, 5:41 into the second. And then a big late push by Navy with Kayla Diletto getting her second of the Nationals from Anna Peterson and Savannah Holt on the power play with 5:55 remaining in the second. And then with 1:06 remaining, Tina Cornelio gets her third of the Nationals. And then Sam Clark getting her third assist of the Nationals there, putting Navy up 5-1 going into the third. And then Tina Cornelio finishes out her hat trick with her fourth of the Nationals. Savannah Holt getting her third assist. And then with 5:33 remaining, Sigrid Schwarzkopf, the goalie, backup goalie from last year, who is naturally a forward, got a goal in the Nationals. An awesome story for her. I believe this is her senior year as well. Sam Clark getting her fourth assist of the Nationals. Navy would go on to win this one 7-1, outshooting Mercyhurst 42-11 in this. Deanna Prevoroto with the win, 10 saves in that effort, and Navy finishes 1-1-1 in the Nationals for this in their second straight Nationals, as it were. So a solid showing from the Naval Academy again this season. You look at what they had last year, going winning the DVCHC and really running roughshod over most of their opponents with two goalies who were not naturally goalies. I mean, Schwarzkopf was a forward, as is Maggie Colassa, and Colassa had an ACL injury, so she didn't play at all this year. I don't think. I'll have to go back in the stats, and we'll check that here in real time. But to have a full-time goaltender that they had in Deanna Prevoroto, solid play overall from this team, not to be unexpected from this squad, but it was another solid showing for the Naval Academy women, and then finishing 17-3-0 in their 20 games played is pretty dang solid overall for this squad. So another successful season. You're going to be losing someone like Tina Cornelio, who is in her last year, 22 goals for her. Sam Clark, who I do believe will be back next season. Clark had a solid showing with 12 goals and 13 assists. Anna Peterson, also 12 goals this season. Elizabeth Perry, seven goals and 16 points. They had a lot of control from the blue line too. I mean, Perry also with Lindsay Baisha, who had a breakout season last season, continued to roll on, was a big supporting member of this squad to help out everyone around, and you know, overall this team has plenty of swagger to kick back on starting for next season. And also with Deanna Prevoroto being full-time in net, I mean, that's going to be huge as well. I'll go back. Maggie Colassa did get one game in this season, so before she went out to injury. So we will see what happens in the grand scheme of things, if there's going to be many changes to Navy's attack. The big thing will be offense, to see who can kind of fill in for what Tina Cornelio will be leaving. But I'm sure the coaching staff at Navy will do nothing but the best for that squad, and to, you know, make character people and make the players out there shine, and shine a lot. So plenty to expect from Navy starting now. I mean, next season's going to be a big one for them, and see if they can't get to Nationals for a second straight year. It'll be a heck of a feat if they can, and I have no doubt that they can do it once again. The Stevenson Mustang men finished out their season in record-breaking numbers, 21-6-1. 15-4-1 in conference, taking the MAC, finishing second in the UCHC to eventual champion Utica. And just a hell of a year for this team coming into it. I mean, Liam McCanny breaking the singles, or breaking the career high in points and in goals, I do believe, as well. He had a stellar season in his junior year, finishing with 20 goals and 28 points. Blake Benson, another player who had a solid year with 29 points in 28 games, 10 goals, 19 assists. A lot of 10-goal scorers: Zach Bannister, John Musella, Frank Vitucci on that list as well. A lot of guys in double digits in points, but one of the bigger ones overall to see just the stats and how it all came down was the play of Ty Outton. And Ty Outton was a big factor in this team's success. I mean, Ryan Kenny leaves last season after his senior year to go pro, and they were wondering what's going to happen with our goaltending. Ty Outton becomes available in the portal. He has played in the QMJHL. He played in the NAHL. He played in U Sports up in Canada, and then finally getting a chance as a junior to come down and play in Division III, and he had himself a year with a 1.82 goals against average, 19-6-1 record, 4 shutouts, and a save percentage of .943, a stellar outing for him. And Ford DeLoss also played well too. He had three appearances, 2 games started, went 2-0-0, had a 3 goals against average, sure, an 8.89 save percentage, but a solid showing for him when he was called upon. But Ty Outton was a force in net, and he's a guy who next year could possibly be even better. So we will have to see what happens next year for this team. But the men's team was solid overall this year. They had a great, solid leadership by Dominic Dawes once again to keep this program going, keep this program wheeling, and, go the next man up mentality in terms of how that's going to be driven and how their recruiting and all that is going. So we had, Ty Outton and Liam McCanny get All-American honors, both as juniors. Ty Outton was named a finalist for the Sid Watson Award for Player of the Year for Division II and Division III. So, I mean, that's pretty huge overall. So it's bright lights going on Stevenson. I mean, they shined throughout this season. And, I mean, there's plenty to come for all of that. So we will see what happens next season, what Dominic Dawes can do in terms of replacing the players that will be leaving. But, as long as Liam McCanny can hang around and tie out and stays on for another year, I think this is pretty smooth sailing. They have the parts. They have everything they need. So I think they'll be in just fine shape when you think about the long run for Stevenson. Another season in review wrap-up, and that goes to the University of Maryland Terrapins. They were 11-13-1-1 in 26 games this year, a plus-12 goals differential, as well as the Terps make it to the playoffs, get to the second round, but unable to go further than that. And an interesting year for this team. I mean, they had a lot of players that will be leaving this year, made a very solid impact going out like that, as it were. Christina Karabanova, solid on the defensive side. Grace Wildberger had a breakout year with 16 goals and 30 points. Alina Skogholm, the captain, 11 goals and 20 points. Elizabeth Braun, another solid year for her, as with Eileen Kilcarney, just chipping away at it, as this team was very solid up and down through the roster. And you look at the goaltending as well, with Sydney Molnar with 2.32 goals against average and a .938 save percentage in 17 games, though she went 5-9-1 in that. But they also had another effort from Ellie Shanzer, who went 3-4-0 with a .343 goals against and an .885 save percentage. And Coley Sneeringer, who got into net for one game when Molnar decided to skate out, had a 1 goal against and a .929 save percentage. .929 save percentage. So Maryland's in good hands, I do believe. I think that the changeover in terms of leadership, what Skogholm will leave behind, is going to be picked up by the rest of the team. I mean, they have plenty of solid players coming back next year. They're going to have a decent effort, I think, as long as the goaltending from Shanzer can suffice, and I'm sure she can. I don't see why she wouldn't be able to, as she was put into the role this year and sometimes when Molnar was out, and provided very solid defense and solid goaltending for the Terps. But I think in the grand scheme of things, we will have to see what the Terps do. They are in prime position to move up the charts. I mean, there's going to be a lot of hoopla with Delaware going NCAA D1. There could be a lot of shifting in the DVCHC in terms of, you know, what can Villanova do, what will Navy do when they have their top players leave. And Maryland could be a sleeper team for next year for 24-25. We'll just have to keep an eye out for them and keep an eye out on what they do next for their program. Let's get to some players. The season is over for Sam Annis and Dynamo Minsk as they drop out of the KHL playoffs in six games, ending with Sam Annis getting 2 goals and 2 assists in those 6 games. Overall, his regular season total, 60 games played, 21 goals, 46 points. Overall, we will see what the next move is for the soon-to-be 31-year-old out of Potomac, Maryland. See if he can, if he stays in the KHL, if there's opportunities for him AHL or NHL ranks. We'll have to see how this all pans out for him in time. But a solid season for him in his first season over in the KHL. Solid weekend last weekend for Micah Berger of the Surrey Eagles, as he is able to get a goal and 2 assists, as Surrey on a big winning streak as well. So the Eagles flying high in the BCHL. Since his change over from the USHL to the BCHL, Berger has 6 goals and 17 points in 15 games played with Surrey as he prepares himself for Miami University next season. Eric Charpentier had an assist on Friday night as Dartmouth beat Union to knock them out of the playoffs in the ECAC. As Dartmouth keeps rolling along, Charpentier finishes his regular season. Well, the season's still going because I forget the points are all cumulative when it comes to NCAA currently. 4 goals and 11 points in 31 games, and they will play in the championship this weekend. So a fun-filled time with that. Julia Blitz, who is doing the work over at Färjestad over in Sweden. 29 goals and 38 points in 14 games in Division 1 for Färjestad. 6 goals, 7 points in the hockey Allsvenskan, which I believe is the level up and the level below the professional side for there. So a solid first year of pro for her out there in Switzerland, or not Switzerland, in Sweden. Silly me. I made a bad read there. Shocking of that, huh? Anthony Domina netted a goal on Friday night, even though his Yorkton Terriers dropped has dropped 4 straight in that. He is at 20 goals, 46 points in 50 games this season as they start to see things wrap up there in the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Lacey Eden and the Wisconsin Badgers are back to the Frozen Four. For the women's side, that startups this weekend, and I think tonight, Thursday, as I record this. So we'll have to see what happens. Didn't factor into the 4-0 win against St. Lawrence, but that is all well and good, as now they turn their tides to see if they can get yet another national championship, which would be the third for Eden in her 3 years at school. That's a pretty good ratio, if I do say so myself. Patrick Giles is starting to rip things up as he has had 3 goals in his last 4 games overall for the Charlotte Checkers, putting him at 12 goals and 21 points on the season in 52 games. As that season starts to wrap up there, a good comeback season for him in his second full pro season with the Charlotte Checkers. So we will see how that works for him in the offseason in terms of all that, you know, trying to get the good old you know, contract re-signing and all that good stuff there. The Stephen Holiday season is over as Ohio State loses in the Big Ten tournament, and they will now go into next season. 36 points in 38 games for Holiday this year, 10 goals, 26 assists in his sophomore season out there in Columbus, Ohio. Jesse Horacek had 2 goals on Saturday against the Philadelphia Rebels as the Black Bears swept the Rebels on the weekend, but dropped one on Wednesday night to Johnstown. That puts Horacek at 17 goals and 41 points on the season with only 6 games remaining in the Black Bears season as of today. Dimitri Kiebru had 3 goals last weekend, 2 on Friday, 1 on Saturday, as the Black Bears again swept the Philadelphia Rebels, putting Dima at 17 goals and 48 points in 52 games. A solid showing for him this season, as he is 1 goal away from 50 goals all time in the NHL, which is pretty solid. Nothing to not write home about. I don't know what that means. In any case, Will Lawrence had a goal on Wednesday against the Black Bears and had an assist Saturday against the Junior Americans, as Johnstown goes 2-1 in those last 3 games. Lawrence, 21 goals and 48 points in 54 games this season for the Bethesda native and Team Maryland product as well. So a good showing from him this year, a breakout season, and I'm sure he'll be getting some offers here, there, and everywhere as things progress. Will Margell had a goal on the second against Canisius, and that's the last we've heard of him since. As Mercyhurst, I do believe, has wrapped up their season. 6 goals, 19 points for Margell in his first year since a transfer from University of New Hampshire. Again, a situation where you bet on yourself and it wins every time. A very great output for him in general. So we will see what his senior year has to offer at the Mercyhurst Universidad. Blake Montgomery had a goal last Thursday, slowing down a bit in terms of his offensive output, but that's okay. He's still doing great work there. 20 goals and 39 points in 49 games with the Lincoln Stars this year. And again, primed to go to University of Wisconsin, probably not until next season, but the season after, the 25-26 season. So he will have another full year to develop in USHL or even elsewhere. Who's to say what his plans are? I don't have a crystal ball for that. His brother, Bryce Montgomery, is in the ECHL and had a goal against the Orlando Solar Bears for South Carolina, even though it was a 6-5 overtime loss. Bryce has 4 goals and 10 points in 39 games in his first year as a pro in South Carolina. Cam O'Neill's season is done too. 3 goals and 3 assists for 6 points in his first year in over there at UMass Amherst. So a decent showing for him in his first year. We will see what he can do and what kind of workload he gets next season at UMass. Evan Orloff had an assist Friday night as the Maine Nordiques split against the Danbury Junior Hat-Tricks 1-1. He's got 6 goals and 13 assists this season for the Nordiques. Jarrett Tenorti up to 8 points this season, all assists. He got an assist on Sunday against the Sharks. So the Severna Park High alum doing work with the Chicago Blackhawks, getting some NHL time with a team who's not really, you know, the greatest team of all, but still getting that service time in. As when you look at his stats right now, Jarrett Tenorti at 197 games played in the NHL, so 3 away from 200, which is a pretty damn good feat overall. And I think he's behind Jeff Halpern in terms of Maryland players with games played. I think he might be, but that's just me thinking out loud. Grace Campbell's season has ended with that overtime loss against UConn 2 weeks back, making 31 saves but losing 2-1. A solid sophomore season, 36 appearances, 15-14-7 with 3 shutouts, a 2.43 goals against, and a 9.23 save percentage for the Kensington, Maryland native. We will only have to see how she can grow in her junior year. Boston College trying to get things rolling there, even Steven year for her, but good numbers personally in that. So congratulations to her, and all the best for that moving forward. And that'll do it. We have done it. Another show, another season in the books. Thank you all for listening. It's been a weird year, obviously, with the move back. It kind of threw things through a loop. Didn't get to promote as much. And, of course, with TweetDeck going down, didn't get to do as much on that end because I had a sight out of mind. If I had TweetDeck up, I would have the thing there. But, you know, excuses, right? Thanks for sticking with me is all I say. I appreciate it. We'll be back next year, probably in October this year, or in October of 2024, with Team Maryland not playing. The season starts a little bit later, I think September, maybe late September, when colleges start going with the ACHA. So we will see. But stay tuned to social media for all the fun news. We'll have another team to cover. While we're losing Team Maryland, we do have Hood College in Division III, women's side of things. We have them to cover. They will be instantaneous with Stevenson in terms of rivalry. So we'll have to see what Hood College can provide for the Maryland area, giving people another team to cheer for, albeit out west, but give those folks some place to go for college hockey out there. So it should be a fun situation. We will have a lot to look forward to on the 2024-25 season, and hope you can join us for all of that. I'm Scotty Waz. Take care of yourself and someone else. This has been Chesapeake Hockey Week, part of the Faceoff Hockey Show Media Faction and Podcast Monsters. Chesapeake HW Pod on Twitter is the place to go for all the updates, for all the things when I do remember to do something with that. But again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for sticking with it. Six seasons in the books. Solid time overall. So all the best to everybody. Stay safe this summer. Stay healthy. Stay happy. Play that clutch and crab hockey when you get on the ice. And we'll talk to you in probably late September. Peace.